Welcome to another episode of the Finding Strong Podcast. I'm Coach Mark Bottenhorn, and I'm joined by ultra endurance athlete, my friend, my training partner, Arthur Blue. And our episodes touch on a variety of topics, including performance, fitness, nutrition, and mental health, as well as mindset. If you're here, we're happy you're here. We're happy that you found us. Now let's dive in to this week's episode. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Finding Strong Podcast. Arthur Blue and I are here, and we are coming to you with another strong session. Arthur, what's going on?
What's up, brother? How are you feeling?
Feeling pretty good, recovering pretty well. For those who don't know, I raced today in a 15K trail race. Arthur, however, raced yesterday and in the same trail race and raced the marathon. Brutal conditions. How are you feeling, Arthur?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. And I think the topic we're covering today falls right in line with how I was feeling at the start of the race, during the race, the end of the race, watching your race, the weather conditions for the weekend. I think this is a perfect topic for this session.
Yeah, I think so. Equal parts brilliant and brutal, but yeah. A lot of fun. I think a lot of fun overall. So with that being said, before we hop into the strong session, I think it's only right that we crack a celebratory athletic brewing here. Let's do it.
Yes, sir. Cheers to you, brother.
Cheers to you. All right. So, Arthur, we're talking about not giving pain a voice. Something that, yep. in my humble opinion, you are an expert at, and something that I'm working on getting better at. And this weekend was kind of a breeding ground in a lot of ways for that. You either get tough or you quit, because this wasn't a race for the soft. And with the things that you've been through in both your military career, some in your personal life, and then just some in this endurance realm that we compete in. What are your thoughts on giving pain a voice?
Yeah, I think too often of times we get in our own heads and we kind of look for that way out and using our tongue as a tool to kind of implode or destruct causes other issues later on in life and as it relates to this in races and endurance events. You know, like the races are going to be hard enough. The environments, the conditions are going to be testy. You can never control that, right? The only thing you can do is put one foot in front of the other and not give in to those pressures of whining and bitching about the conditions of the race, your physical condition, because we all volunteered and we chose to toe the line, right? Speaking from personal experience this past weekend, you know, going into the race, I wasn't 100%, and we knew that. And then you add on our living conditions for the weekend that we chose to kind of to sleep in, and then add in the weather, right? It was a lot of things that I could have complained about, but what does that do for me? What does that do for you supporting me out there? And what does it do for the other race participants who can feed off of that energy? And so I think, you know, we just need to be cautious of the power of the tongue, because there's a lot of power in that, and it controls the thoughts and your actions as you progress and things get tougher. So, you know, you don't need to say what's already understood. We know it's painful. Just find a way to smile and get through it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think there was a lot to complain about this weekend in a lot of ways. But at the end of the day, we chose to do it. We chose to make the most of it. And the only thing you can do is kind of get better or get beat. And we took the opportunity to get better. You know, I think it reminds me a little bit of a quote, you know, kind of it just talks about the power of words, the power of thoughts. Self-fulfilling prophecies, I'm huge on, you know, got it tattooed, what you think you become. Henry Ford once said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And when you start talking really negatively, whether it's actually audibly out loud, which nobody likes that person, or you're doing it internally to yourself, whether it's self-dialogue, like late in a race, it can spiral negatively, right? And I think about this often when I'm racing in ultra races. I try to really, really delay the first time that I start to walk or power hike up a hill. And I know sometimes in some aspects, like the general rule is like, if you're in a certain distance race and the hill is, if you can't see over the hill, you should power hike up it. But I would rather run really slowly and maybe even it costs a little bit of energy. Because I feel like once you start power hiking or you start walking, that lowers your threshold and it automatically becomes easier to start walking again. Right. And it's the same thing with once you start complaining, once you start feeling sorry for yourself, once you start feeling like the conditions are so bad or whatever adversity you're facing, it is a big problem. Your threshold for other problems during the race gets much lower and then it starts to spiral into a meltdown and you're having a worse time than you should. You're performing worse than you should in all of these things. So that's a very small thing, but I think about that. It's much like, you know, the ultra race a couple of weeks ago, I didn't even bring a chair to sit in for that timed race. So there was no opportunity to sit because once you sit down, it becomes easier to sit longer. You say, I'm going to take this one break. I'm going to do this one thing, whatever it is. So for me, I think that's brilliant. Not giving pain a voice, not complaining about the conditions. But the reality is this, the conditions were bad. You went into the race hurt. We got to the race very late in the morning where you had to just basically jump out of the car and go straight to the race. We stayed in a very dodgy hotel in a very rundown area the night before. But at the end of the day, you chose to make the most out of the experience and gain the most from it that you could. And I commend you for that. I didn't hear you complain one time in the time that you were out there for the race. And I heard a lot of other people complaining out on the trail. So for me, you know, I think I was inspired by that.
No, and I think that's absolutely right, Mark. I think, you know, as we got deeper into the distance I did was the full marathon. And I know my last 5K, I was taking a shot of pickle juice and Gatorade at the 5K aid station and just hearing people standing at the tent and complaining about the weather because you could see the looming storm. You could hear the thunder off in the distance. You could kind of see the rain coming in and everyone was just like, oh my God, like this is about to be worse. It's about to be muddy. And I'm like, it's nothing you can do about that. And that's when I text you and was like, hey, I'm 5K out or something like that. And, you found me and we ran it in together. But I just, you know, personally don't understand how people can use their tongue to tear themselves down in something that they volunteered for. Or, you know, to just, you know, you have to motivate yourself in those situations and your crew is not there. You couldn't run the race for me. You couldn't do the rest of my miles for me. So what good is it for me to sit at an aid station and complain about the weather that no one out here can control? Right. And you've made it this far. A good thunderstorm is just going, you know, kind of change the monotony of the race a little bit and give you something, you know, bring out that inner child a little bit. I was splashing in puddles and running. You know, it kind of broke up the monotony of the race for me. But I think people really don't understand that the tongue can be a tool to build or it can be a tool to destroy. And that carries out in a race.
Yeah, I think in the world that we live in, we have enough things cutting us down, right? Whether it's the constant comparison on social media, it's whatever you're battling in that race, it's whatever you're battling in whatever event, it's whatever you're battling in life and training. We talked about it before. Life is suffering. Life is hard. But I truly believe when you give that, you know, pain a voice, when you speak it out loud, when you put yourself into a negative position, I think you're 10 times more likely to be affected by it just by saying it out loud. So I think that's so important. It's just a small trick. But the reality is, I think some people are going to see this and say, well, is that toxic positivity? Because it does suck, right? Even if you chose to do it, it does suck. It does suck that you're 5K into a race with back pain that you picked up in the training cycle. And not only that, but it's lightning, thunderstorming, pouring down rain. The trails basically turn into a muddy clay slip and slide. And that does suck, but you're not talking about toxic positivity, right? You're talking about more of a neutral mindset here, taking it for what it is, right? 1 mile at a time. We so often talk about that, or a half mile at a time, or one aid station at a time, or whatever it is.
Yeah. And you figure out like, okay, it's not that bad, right? I can still put one foot in front of the other. If I can't run anymore, then I can walk, right? Like I can walk. And if you can't do that, right, then, you know, you can find some other ways. But what it all comes down to is the moment you start giving into those demons of I'm hurting, I'm tired, and say it out loud to other people, I feel like people are looking for a way out in that way. Like, hey, it's okay to quit. It's okay to drop out. It's okay to X, Y, Z, fill in the blank. When you might be able to give a little bit more, you might have to break it down to one foot in front of the other and just counting your steps. You might have to say, hey, I just need to get to this aid station and take a break for a second. I need to get to this aid station, this next aid station, and take a break for a second. You know, find those backstops that where I can get to this light pole, I can get to this tree, and then, you know, do what you need to do to adjust and then keep freaking moving forward. But to sit in it and then expect someone else to, you know, if you can't motivate yourself, then no one else can really do anything for you. If you can't, you know, because the trail races, they get lonely at a certain point, and no one is around to carry your water for you or to do all these other things that you need. So you need to figure it out and be able to get yourself over that hump.
I think it's so true. When you look at humans, we are wired evolutionarily speaking for survival. So that means we're going to expend the least amount of energy possible. We're going to take the easiest way out most times naturally. It's a natural reflex to want to do that. But the reality is that there's no triumph in that. There's no accomplishment in that. There's no rewiring of, you know, your brain in a lot of ways. When we know when we do hard things and we accomplish really hard things, we become better at doing those. And so giving that pain a voice and taking that way out, which seems like the easy way out, I promise you, in the long term, will be filled with pain and discomfort in a different way. And so I admire you for the way that you finished the race. You finished the race really strong, ran it in really hard after 26.2 sloppy, muddy, hilly, rocky, rooty miles, with wind and rain. And I thought that was incredible. And, you know, I knew as a result that my race being the next day, I knew that it was going to be a mud fest because it just poured rain all night, basically stormed all night. And we went back at it and went to it again. And also got to give you kudos because you got up and were ready to go at 5 a.m. To come back from my race when you certainly didn't have to, because you raced the day before and you had every right to just stay home.
Never let the homies suffer by themselves, dude. You always got to go out to support the ones that supported you. You know, you sat out there with me for 4 hours, you know, you stayed in that raggedy hotel with me. You know, we got chased by some dogs on our shakeout run. So we got everything from that town that we wanted. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I looked at this as an opportunity. I look at this as an opportunity to kind of not only flex, but train and grow my mindset muscle. I knew that this was going to be tough going into it. I knew it was going to be nasty. You know me, I like really runnable stuff. And I was looking forward to a really runnable, hilly, but runnable kind of trail 15K. And it was just a pure mud slide, mud back. There were times where I was climbing up, you know, 100-foot vertical gain hills. And I was at times at the steepest parts, I had to use my hands as well as my feet. I mean, you saw me completely covered in mud on my Instagram page. There's a picture of me after the race, just totally covered in mud. And people were asking me who fell, and I was like, no, that's just a byproduct of running in that. But I looked at that as an opportunity.
Should have been a before and after pic.
Yeah. But you know, even at the end when I started getting a little bit, you know, like the stabilizing muscles in my legs were starting to get a little bit sore from all that instability. I still looked at that as an opportunity. Like, this is an opportunity that's going to serve me later in these training cycles. It's going to serve me later in life. And so I attacked that with positivity in that sense, because I knew I was getting better. So there was no chance that I was going to let, you know, any of that, I was going to give any of that negativity or pain a voice, because I wanted to be doing this. I wanted to be getting better. And I knew that when it was the most painful, when it was the hardest, when it hurt the most, that's when I was growing the most. So instead of letting pain have a voice and I could say, this sucks, this whatever, I flipped it and realized that, yes, because of those things, I'm actually growing. I'm actually getting better. I'm actually getting stronger, more resilient. I'm improving where I want to, and I'm being the human being that I want to be. And so if you can flip that and you can have positivity when so many others choose negative, I think that there's going to be, if you can look at things in a level-headed way, I think there's going to be so much more that you can get from yourself. And I think that's what it's all about. So instead of finding instead of finding a reason to complain in the discomfort, instead find a reason to embrace that discomfort, embrace the suck, and realize that it's making you better. And then there's no way to give pain a voice, because that pain is really forging you into a better athlete, a better person, more well-rounded, and more ready for the future, more ready for battle.
No, absolutely. And it, like you said, it transfers over into your personal and professional life. I know we're relating all this to, you know, athletic prowess and ultra running, endurance running, but for me, it's the only way you can test yourself right now, right? Like, it's to put yourself in those situations and see how you come out, man, and how you can challenge your mindset during those races, because it will be challenged. And you know, again, just don't feel how you feel, because you can't. Your body is going to hurt. Internalize it. Maybe find a way to speak positive to it. But just don't give that pain a voice out loud. Don't give in to the pressure of, you know, the other people who might be complaining on the course for things that are out of everyone's control. If you're, again, if you're knee deep in it and you don't have something, you just don't have it. It's no point in using that, expending that energy on that. It's no point in complaining about it, and let that just be a lesson learned, but just don't give that pain a voice, and it's growth in that suffering.
100%. And I think that's a good place to end it. But I know coming into this work week on Monday that I'm going to be better for the self-induced suffering this weekend. I'm going to have a higher threshold in business, in my personal life, in my career, because I went through that this weekend, and I continue to stack wins, stack bricks, and everything like that. And I think we should, before we leave, we should point out that this is a concept that was really kind of popularized by Chad Wright. And I want to make sure that we call that out there, because we're not trying to rip him off. We're trying to really touch on what he was talking about, distill it, and kind of show you how we applied it this weekend, and maybe think about how you can apply it moving forward and just see it as an opportunity for growth. As always, the last strong session, I think, garnered a lot of views, a lot of downloads. It was very popular. We appreciate the support. And we just want to say, if you found value in this, please like, share, subscribe, everything. We are growing by the day, and we could not do it without you. So we are humbled, and we are eternally grateful. Until next time, everybody, stay strong.